psychologists say, you know, people are looking for three things. And let me say, you know, three things. Firstly, I think we are looking for something to do. So each and every day, you know, we don't want to idle around, sitting around. We want to be found doing. And so psychologists say, you know, people are always wanting to do something. Secondly, they say we are, you know, something to love. You know, we want to love something. We want to treasure something. We want to value something. We want to be fond of something. And so we want to love, right? We don't want to have a life just going through a motion, right? We want to love of not only our families, but even our career or our profession. And thirdly, they say, and you know, human beings also have another thought or even a desire, that is to look forward, right? We want to look forward for something in the future. We're always looking forward, right? We are looking forward for a better career. We are looking forward for a better home, for a better family life, for a good Christian life. And so we're always looking forward for something good, exciting, things that will actually fascinate us. And when I look at the passage today, it's a passage that actually speaks about, you know, things that Jesus was fascinated about, things that he was looking forward for, and things that he was just excited and he was really involved in doing. You know, sometimes we know, I tend to hear people say, you know, today was a very boring day. Right? Today was a very boring day. You know, I wanted to do so many things, but unfortunately, I was not able to do. Or sometimes we tend to say, you know, nothing is really driving me. You know, I don't feel the excitement. The excitement. You know, when I was just looking at the life of Jesus Christ, I realized, you know, there's so many things, you know, why things that really excited him. And not only that, I think there was not only the things, that what was the inner thing that was really exciting the Lord Jesus Christ? He was always found on the move. He was always found just ready for doing things. And the theme that I've taken today is, it's every day with Jesus. In other words, when I was just looking at the life of Christ, you know, the things that he was just getting involved in. And I know some of you tend to follow celebrities, right? I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. Right? We try to follow them. We say, oh, they are in New York City. Oh, they are in this place. You know, we tend to follow them and we want to be like them. Let me encourage you, you know, throughout this Lent season, like, try to follow Christ. Because, you know, Christ will definitely fascinate you. And I'm also fascinated by the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly his life. Let's turn to the passage that is before us. And as disciples of Christ, we are called to follow him. Very interestingly, if you look at the word disciple, it is not just a follower or a learner. You know, the way, if you look at the deeper meaning of the word disciple appears around 270 times in the gospel and also in the epistle. It is something that I believe and then I follow. It is not just I follow because I'm asked to follow. A disciple is a person who subscribes. In other words, he believes. I believe in this teaching. I admire, I'm fond of this particular teaching or philosophy or ideology. And so what happens? I put it into practice. And so today, if you believe Christ and if you're fond of Christ, let me encourage you. Let me challenge you today. Not just believe him, but I think let Christ drive you or even help you in your journey. Three things, you know, which is happening in the life of Christ today. When you look at the passage, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, I gave a long passage for David to read. Are you tired? No. If not, I would have given you extra passages to read. You know, let's look at the word. You know, in verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house of Simon, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, I was just looking at this word, and then I realized, I was just trying to see, you know, let me see what happened just the day before Jesus went to pray. And the day Jesus, before he went to pray, it was a Sabbath day, if you realize in verse 21. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus was very busy, right? In verse 21, it says, he went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into a synagogue and began to teach. He was teaching. He was encouraging, exhorting people with God's word. And the people were amazed at his teaching. In other words, he was teaching with authority. You know, people were just fascinated. It's a new teaching. It's a new thing that we are learning. And so Jesus was involved in teaching people. And then he taught them with one with authority. And then, you know, if you realize in verse 23, it says, just then a man in the synagogue was possessed by an impure spirit. Right, demon spirit cried out. And Jesus, if you realize, you know, he delivered the man and the word spread about Christ. And then if you just jump down to verse 27, it says, the people were all amazed what they asked each other. What is this? And so just, can you imagine? Jesus comes out of the synagogue. He comes out, he's teaching, and then he faces this man who is possessed. He's involved in some kind of healing. And then in almost towards the evening, it says in verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went to James and John, to the house of Simon and Andrew. Right? So this was happening during in the synagogue. And then he goes into the house of Simon, Andrew's house, right? And then he sees Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus goes there. He does a great miracle. And then if you realize in verse 32, let me come to this. In verse 32, it says, that evening after sunset, right, after 6:30 or even after 7 o'clock, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town, can you imagine? The whole town. I do not know how many people were there. You know, it's a time, and can you imagine, you start off in a day with teaching, he's preaching, he's helping people, he's involved in the lives of people. Demon-possessed person, he goes into the house of Simon Peter. There is another sick person, he's ministering to her. And then when evening comes, people are just flogging to Jesus. And on top of that, it says the entire town gathered. Can you imagine? The entire town gathered. The maximum sermon I've actually preached in a day, I think, it's 7 sermons. By the 5th time, I think my wife will make coffee for me because I need extra caffeine, right? And the 5th time, the 6th time, much more stronger, bold coffee, because I after 7th, I think I do not know where what I'm preaching, I think. So can you imagine? Jesus was involved in teaching, and his teaching amazed people. Probably he was just spending time with them, and he was just teaching them, and people were amazed. He goes, you know, into the house of this Peter and Andrew, and he heals, and the entire town gathers. Can you imagine? He's listening to each and everyone's need. He's praying for them. He's delivering, and people are healed. Can you imagine? People just in the long queue, just waiting. You know, how tired it would have been for Jesus Christ, just spending the entire, evening with people. You know, just healing them and all that. And it says, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove off many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Can you imagine? I think that he, this ministry lasted more than probably, he was just ministering after midnight. Can you imagine each and every person trying to tell Jesus, this is my problem. The next one says, this is my problem. Jesus prays. And then they come with families, the entire town, old, young, just name it, they were there. But then, can you imagine? He was so tired. But then, when you jump to verse 35, it says, very early in the morning. Jesus had a very busy day. He was tired. He was really stretched to the maximum. There was no energy for him. The entire town gathered. He ministered to them. But the word says, very early in the morning. In other words, the next very day, in the Greek text, if you look at it, it's around 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine getting up? That's the time, many people say, you want to really sleep. People shouldn't disturb you at 3 o'clock, right? And he gets up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus goes to a solitary place to pray. I can't imagine. I can't imagine having a full day of teaching and preaching and healing and ministering to the people and working throughout, and then getting up early in the morning just to spend time with God. You know, Jesus could have said, you know, prayed at the bed. You know, sometimes I know we lie down and on the bed and pray, right? We don't get up. We lie down on the bed and pray. After a few seconds, we are snoring, right? It's difficult to lie down and pray. But Jesus, what was happening? You know, he went to a solitary place. You know, I was looking at the text. It says that Jesus left the house of Simon Peter, or the mother-in-law's house. He went out of the city because Jerusalem, or this particular place, is a very densely populated place. And so to a solitary place, it means Jesus walked out of the town. He took a long walk. He wanted to be away. Can you imagine, right? Tired day, getting up early in the morning, walking far away. Why? To spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord, right? He could have said, Lord God, just forgive me, right? I need, Monday is my off day, so Lord, please don't disturb me, and I won't don't disturb you also. But Jesus did not do that. You know, Jesus was found praying. You know, when I was really fascinated. I think what gave Christ the energy is because of his prayer life. What gave him the motivation to face the challenges of that entire day, it is all because of his prayer life. He started the day with prayer. With prayer, my friend. I think in the past few weeks also, we have been just looking at, in about prayer. If the Son of God can spend time in prayer, if the Son of God is able to change anything, who can do miraculous things, you know, he sees the importance of prayer. What about you and me? Spending time with the Lord, spending our precious time with the Lord, starting the day with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember many years ago, I went to Korea, and I was part of a delegation of five people, and we were invited by the largest church in Korea. At that point of time, it was 250,000 people. That was one of the largest churches. And I went to see, you know, we were a delegation of five, and so we went to see the pastor. Very interestingly, the church office is 14-story building. Can you imagine? They had 150 staff working in the church. And so we went to see the pastor. And very interestingly, you know, we were having a good time with him, you know, talking to him and all that. And then he brought us into his office to see his office. But there was one place he did not bring us. He showed us. And he said, that is the place I meet my God. That is the place, a very special place. You know, and I have a special time. You know, I have time for you. I have time for people in the church. I have time for meetings. At the same time, I have a time to meet God. And that is the place. And I have a certain time to meet God. Can you imagine? You have 250,000 people, right? You don't need to do evangelism. Things are just moving on. You know, things are just going on. You just manage the situation. You just manage the church. You make sure people are just doing their work. But this pastor, you know, spoke volumes about prayer. He said, that is a place, you know, I meet my God. I have a particular time to meet my God. My friend, I think it's important for us to give a time, even though if possible, a place, and say, Lord, this is the time I want to meet with you. There is no excuse for us, right? We might say, you know, one of the words which I don't like in today's society is the word busy, right? We escape by saying, you know, it's busy. Let me tell you, my friend, you know, yes, it can be a busy day, but I think, you know, we can make time for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important. I was reading the book of Daniel, and interestingly, I was looking at the life of the prayer life of Daniel. And what fascinated me, you know, Daniel prayed 3 days, three times a day, right? Looking towards Jerusalem, and he prayed. And he was almost like the prime minister of Babylon. And you know, at that time, Daniel was 80 years old, and he made sure three times a day he was found praying, seeking God. if the Son of God is found praying, I think we need to be praying too. I was just reading, a story about a young girl who went to the mother and said, and she said, "Mom, I suppose up in heaven, they think I'm dead." She said, "You know, I think heaven, people in heaven would be thinking that I'm dead." The mom replied, Why do you suppose they think that you're dead?" This little girl said, "Because I've not said my prayers for a week. I've not said my prayers for the week. In other words, my prayers have not gone to heaven, and so people would think that I'm dead." Maybe we don't subscribe to her theology, but if it's a true theology, do you think people in heaven will be thinking we are still dead or alive? Are we praying? Do we have a time for God? Do we have a place where we meet God when we spend some time with Him? Secondly, you know, when I looked at the life of Christ, not only He started the day with prayer, right? If you move on to verse 36, Jesus is praying. Simon in companions, in verse 36, it says, and companions went to look for Christ, went to look for Him, and they found Him. You know, and they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I was just looking at this word very carefully, and scholars say they were not just looking or searching for Christ. In other words, they were really frustrated. "Where is this man? You know, the entire town, you know, they have received us well, right? It's wonderful time. People are just coming after us. You know, they have brought breakfast for us, you know, because so many people have been healed. Right, they brought breakfast for us, and they want us to spend some time with them." And so Peter is running to Jesus, and the way he speaks to Jesus, it is not in a joyful tone. He's frustrated. He's saying, "Jesus, where are you? You know, we have been just looking for you. You should be with us." You know why? Because the entire town is searching for you. It's a golden opportunity. We are celebrities. Can you imagine? Everything is ready. Let's stay here. Let's place our camp or place our homes here. And he said this, right? And everyone is searching for you. You know, and people are just searching for you. They want you. They want your teaching. They want your ministry. They want your healing. They are fascinated. But what was the answer of Jesus? Can you imagine? Jesus replied in verse 38. He says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages." Can you imagine? You are needed, but Jesus says, "No, let's go somewhere else." Right? "Lord, I don't understand you, because you are needed here. Your teaching is accepted by the people. They love you. They want you to be around." Right? But Jesus says, "No, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby town." And he says, "So I can preach there also. This is why I have come." You know, sometimes I don't understand. When I was looking at this word, I was telling myself, you know, can you imagine the excitement in Peter? Peter is so excited, you know, because there are several towns which said no to Jesus Christ. They said, "Don't come near." But here, the entire town is fascinated. But this man says, "No, I'm not. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to a nearby place." You know, when I look at it, you know, a couple of things came to my mind. You know, many times, you know, what happens, I think. Jesus, you know, when you look at it, you know, Jesus had a commission. In other words, he had a commission from God. He knew where and what God wanted him to do very well. He knew what was God's will for his life. He knew what was God's plan for his life. He did not want to be driven by a man's agenda, but he wants to be driven by God's agenda. He didn't want to be driven by Peter's big plan. I believe Peter had a big plan for him, right? "Let's go to this place and teach. Let's go for this place to have meal. And this is ministry time." Probably Peter had a great plan, a man's desire, a man's way of thinking. But Jesus said, "No, I'm here because God has sent me. I'm here because God has a plan for my life. And God has a purpose for me to live in this world, Today, my friend, the sad thing is many times we are driven by our own selfish motives or desires. If you're a child of God, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are driven, even including myself, are driven by God's plan and God's will. Today, where are you today, my friend? Are we in God's plan? Are we doing the things that God has planned for us? It's each and every day, I'm doing this because it is God's plan. It's God's desire. This is the place I need to be, and this is what I need to be found doing. Or are we just driven by our own agendas? Our own thinking. Peter had a different plan, but Jesus had a different plan because he wanted to be on God's timetable and God's plan. He went to the nearby place, towns, to preach. He wanted to be found doing the will of God, my friend. I think it's important for us each and every day. I believe, you know, it is not that God has a plan for us in the future, but I think God has a plan for each and every day of our life. You know, how did Jesus know about God's plan? I believe it because he started the day with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God. He was praying to God. We do not know what was he praying because the text doesn't tell us. But I was just trying to place myself and just to sense the prayer time of Christ. I think he was just praying, Lord, help me to do your will. Help me, Lord, to know what is your will for me today. I don't want to be a celebrity, Lord. I don't want to be in a place where just people want me to. But I want to be in a place where God wants me to. I think if you realize that was what Satan was trying to tempt Jesus. He wanted Jesus to take the shortcut route, right? So, it's each and every day, are you driven by your own agenda or Christ's agenda? Is it our plan or God's plan? And then let me move on by saying, you know, the third one, you know, if you look at it, and then Jesus moves on, and in verse 40 it says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Can you imagine? And then, you know, in those days, you know, people don't touch people with leprosy. I don't know how many of you have seen people with this particular disease. I've been to India, and I've actually ministered with lepers. You know, many times you are told not to, you know, you can pray for them and all that, but don't touch them, right? It is not contagious, but, you know, it's not a good sign to look at. Right? And so you try to avoid, because there might be some kind of a smell and all that, and you tend to avoid. And in those days, they were not allowed to go to the city of Jerusalem, because the city of Jerusalem was known as a holy place. And so they lived out of the city. They will just walk around, but they can't come close to someone's place, right? They will always need to shout unclean, unclean. So people will know that a leper is passing by, right? And so the society will be aware that a leper is passing by, and so I need to be away from that particular person. Can you imagine? That was how lepers were treated in those days, my friend. They were untouchables. They got nothing to do with the society. They were seen unclean. You know, but Jesus was moved by compassion. In verse 41, it says, Jesus was indignant. Right? The word indignant means, you know, you are motivated by some kind of anger. I was looking at the word very carefully. You know, it was not anger because this man is sick or this man came to disturb him. You know, you are not supposed to come near me, but you're coming near me. It's not that kind of anger. Jesus was angry, right? Because this sickness was due to the evil forces of the world, right? Because of sin, because of evil life of the world, the wickedness of this world have affected him. The evil powers of this world have affected him. And so Jesus was indignant or even upset about what has happened to this person's life, this innocent man's life. What did Jesus do? He reached out his hand. In those days, as I told you, you're not supposed to touch them. The unclean, they are cursed by God. But Jesus reached out and touched him. And I was telling myself, you know, why did Jesus touch him? He could have said the word, be clean. Or he might have said, you know, go and wash yourself, you'll be clean. But Jesus touched him. Right? He touched him. And I think the passage spoke a lot about Jesus' compassion. Firstly, he had a communion with God. Secondly, he had a commission from God. And then he had compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion, my friend. If you look at passages very carefully, you know, what drove Jesus' ministry, not because, you know, I want to be found doing. I'm doing this because I have compassion for God. I love God. I'm doing this because I love God and I love the people that God has given to me. Jesus reached out to him and he had a lot of compassion. And I think one of the things that should motivate us to be, are we driven by love? If I'm encouraging someone, am I doing it because, you know, I have been asked to do it? Or am I driven because of love? Am I involved in the life and ministry of the church because I love to be part of this? I love God. I want to touch lives. I want to help people to come closer to God. I want people to know that God has a plan for their lives. Dear friends, I think Jesus was motivated by compassion. He could have said that word, but he did not. He touched him. He could have said, don't come near to me, but he touched him. Jesus had a lot of compassion. Throughout the passages, you will tend to see Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Are we moved with compassion? Not only with the ministries that we do in the church, when we are even in our career life, are we doing because, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful to you, Lord. I want to be sincere to you. Even in my workplace, and I want to be, you know, a compassionate person because I have the love of God in me. He might be a person of a different race or a different religion, but I want to show God's love because God's love motivates me, drives me, and I can't stop living for Christ. Let me say this illustration is a true illustration, and then we will continue with our singing and giving out of our time to God. It's about one of the earliest missionaries to Myanmar. His name is Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson. I think he, you know, a great man. He went to Myanmar the very early days to be a missionary, and people were not really fascinated with the gospel at that point of time. So he and his wife were there, and one evening she came to him and said, you know, dear, you know, did you read the papers today? And Judson said, no, I did not. And she said to him, I saw the papers, and she said, I do not, you know, the papers said that you are like the apostles, like Paul or like Peter. And can you imagine if someone comes and tells you, hey, you are like Apostle Paul, what would you do? Will you say, hello, Ray? If you're like a celebrity, probably you will jump. Right? Can you imagine if someone in the church comes and say, hey, you are like Apostle Paul, you are like Apostle John, I think you'll be so excited, it will make your day. And no, when the wife came and said, in the newspapers reported saying that you are like an Apostle Paul. And very interestingly, Judson was very frustrated. He was very frustrated. He said, I don't want to be like Paul. I don't want to be like Peter. I don't want to be like John. I want to be like Christ. He was very frustrated because they compared him to Paul or to Peter. He said, no, I want to be like Christ because Christ is my hero. Christ is my way. And Christ is my life. My friends, I think today, do we have that kind of desire? I want to be like Christ. Many a times in a very celebrity world, we are driven. We want to be like that person, like this person, you know. But what about like Christ? If you want to be like Christ, start the day with Him. Have a time with Him. Because that's important. Because when you spend time with God, you know, you will be guided by God. Your days will be wonderful, right? I think God will help you and you will know God's will for your life. And if you're driven by the Lord, you will be driven with love because God loves us so much. Let's pray. I just want you to take a moment and to be sincere to yourself. If someone would come and ask you, who do you like to be? Or in other words, to be referred to. Do you like to be like so and so? Or do you like to be like someone great? This particular person, that person. What would be your answer? What would be a true answer? Sometimes we are driven by our career and we say, I want to be like this person. Like that person. Judson could have easily said and be happy and say, oh, I thank God at least I'm like Paul. But he was very frustrated because he said, no, I want to be like Christ. And I believe I'm speaking to disciples who are here. I believe I'm speaking to Christians who are here. If you're a child of God, not only you subscribe to the teachings of Christ, but even in your practice, the teachings of Christ is seen. How's your day? How are your days? Do you have time for God? Do you have a place where you meet God, a time for God? I will never give my time this time because I meet my God. Are you driven, or are we driven by someone, or are we driven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have the love of Christ in us? Jesus was moved with compassion. Well, God, we thank you, Lord, that we thank you for that you're a great example to our lives. And you are the great answer, O God, to our lives. Help us, O Lord, that each and every day, Father, to start the day with you. And help us, Lord, to be like Christ, reaching out to people, O God, wherever we are, in whatever places we are there, Lord. We want to be filled with God's love. We want to do things because we love God. We are motivated by God. And we want to be found in God's will, in God's plan, in God's timetable. Help us, Lord, to start with you. We just love you. In Jesus' name we pray.